want to talk about effects of harvesting method on fiber and yarn quality from irrigated cotton on the High Plains. A little bit of background, pretty much everybody knows we got a lot of cotton in the High Plains. We got some harsh weather conditions that makes it pretty difficult to grow a consistent crop there. It's traditionally been a stripper harvested region. The weather conditions up there have dictated that you're going to often grow a crop that's got to be pretty low to the ground and pretty tight locked so that it can withstand a lot of the wind. But lately there's been a pretty substantial growth in yields and a lot of fiber packages that have allowed for much improved fiber properties. When we look at picking here on the left, you're pretty much just pulling that cotton out of the bowl. You're going to end up with a lot less trash, but you're also going to leave quite a bit more cotton in the field. Compared to a stripper harvester where you're going to pull everything off that plant that there is, including immature fibers, but you're going to take more out of the field. When we look at Texas cotton production, as cotton acreages have dropped off elsewhere, the percentage of the U.S. crop that's being grown in Texas has increased. There's a lot of reasons for that, not the least of which is we just don't have many options in the High Plains of other crops to rotate to as we have in some other parts of the country. But the implications of this are that as folks overseas that are pretty accustomed to getting a Kayla cottons out of California, a lot of them are getting cotton from other parts of the United States. And to a lot of them, U.S. cotton is supposed to be U.S. cotton, and it's not performing the same in the textile mills as what they were getting out of California. And so what we're trying to do is figure out, is there a portion of the crop that's grown on the High Plains of Texas that may be able to suitably fit those markets? So when we look at fiber quality coming out of the High Plains of Texas, you look at the U.S. base grade. For 2007 crop, about 36.3% of the U.S. crop graded base or better, according to the U.S. base grade. Cotton classed out of the Lubbock office, about 35.6% was graded there. Now, that is a substantial improvement over previous years where that number was a whole lot lower. But then you go to the international base grade where a lot of our customers are now, and really only about 8.8% of the U.S. crop in 2007 even met the international base grade or better. Okay, then we start comparing West Texas cotton to other cotton grown in the U.S. West Texas cotton is given deeper discounts or lower premiums when we meet those standards. What these numbers at the bottom are saying is if you grow a bale of base grade cotton in West Texas in 2007, you were going to get a 61-point discount, whereas if you grew a bale of that same cotton that grades exactly the same by the USDA classing offices and it was sold out at Southwest, you only got a 9-point discount. Similarly, you grow a bale of cotton that grades international base grade out of West Texas, you got a 422-point premium. A bale of cotton coming out of the Southwest with that same exact grade got a premium of 1,125 points. Now, the reason for that is that West Texas cotton has developed sort of a reputation where things that may not show up in the HVI affect the spinability of that cotton. And so the customers are not willing to pay as much because they have determined that they're going to have more trouble spinning that cotton. And as we can see, the cotton that our customers for U.S. cotton has drastically changed. Whereas in the early 1990s, we were selling most of our cotton domestically, now by far the majority of our cotton is going overseas, as you can see from that blue line. So the objective of this research was to determine differences in fiber quality and yarn quality between picked cotton and stripped cotton coming off the High Plains. There, with the increase in yields, improvements in irrigation technology, there's been a lot of interest in picker harvesters in the High Plains. This presentation, I'm going to talk about the fiber and yarn quality. Got a presentation in the economics session a little bit later this afternoon. We're going to talk about the economics, and I'll be glad to answer any questions about that later if need to. But basically, in 2006, we were trying to figure out what in the world we were doing. So we looked at one field where we were growing Stoneville 4554. We looked at three different treatments where out of that same field, we picked cotton, we stripped and field cleaned it, and then we stripped and bypassed a field cleaner. 2007, we were fortunate to be able to piggyback off of Randy Bowman's variety trials, and we basically just looked at two treatments where we were picking and stripping with a field cleaner, but out of the same fields, we were able to pull from four different varieties, and then we had three replications in each field. 2008, we were hoping to do that again. Mother Nature had a little bit to say about that, and so we ended up basically just going to three fields that were not planted with variety trials, but we looked at two fields that were planted in FiberMax 9180, where we picked and stripped, and then one that was planted in 9150, where we picked and then we stripped without a field cleaner. In 2006, it was a fairly immature crop, as you can see by the micronair values here, and what we saw was that differences in harvest treatments led to significant differences in micronair and the length uniformity, and that basically ended up giving us a significant difference in the loan value of that cotton that we saw in 2006. APHIS, which again doesn't go into what the purchaser, what the mill is going to see when they purchase that cotton, but it's definitely going to impact the way that cotton spins. We did see a significant difference in the NEP count between picked cotton and stripped cotton without field cleaning, but for some reason there in the middle when we were field cleaning, we didn't see any statistical difference. So it wasn't huge differences there, but those numbers are still pretty high. But you can see from this graph, this is the length distribution of those fibers from 2006, and that skewed distribution basically says, hey, these fibers were pretty immature. So we go to 2007, that's a distribution of much more mature fibers. The weather was much more cooperative in 2007, and we were able to see what happens when we're harvesting mature fibers with these different harvest methods. So in 2007, we didn't see any differences in micronear. We didn't see any differences in uniformity. We did see some differences in color and leaf grade, but that didn't lead to any change in the value of that cotton. But you'll notice here, if you look at what variables were significant in 2007, variety shows up in every one of those except for micronear. So we see that variety does have a very substantial impact in those quality parameters. We look at paired t-tests. So what happened when we've picked six rows and right next to it we stripped six rows? Well, we did see about a tenth of an increase in mic when we were picking, and again we saw those differences in color, but that's a relatively small change in the micronear, again when those fibers ended up being mature. Aphis, though, we did see some very substantial differences. Again, we had much more mature fibers, so our NEP counts were lower, but we did see differences in short fiber content and our foreign matter. The immature fiber content was substantially higher, and again, that maturity ratio. And essentially what that's showing is that picker was leaving those immature fibers out in the field. So what's that do? It means that your cotton that you're bringing in when you're picking is more mature, and it's a better fiber, but you're leaving more of it out there. And pounds equals dollars. And so if you're leaving it in the field, it's going to cost you something as well. 2008 was, again, pretty different. Looking at site 5, you can see there that crop, which was under a drip system, was a subsurface drip system, was able to mature real well before it was harvested. At site 6, that was a site that was much farther north. It was terminated by freeze before those fibers were able to mature, and that's a pretty ugly length distribution. So in 2008, when we had those more mature fibers, it was somewhat intermediate to what we saw in 2006, 2007. Again, we started seeing differences in micronear and uniformity. We didn't see differences in the value of that cotton. We did see differences in elongation, which we're beginning to see more and more, and Eric Hickey is doing a lot of research up at Texas Tech that's showing that this difference in elongation can make a real difference in the value or the strength of the of yarns that are produced with these cottons. Again, we saw significant differences in NEP counts and our visible foreign matter. I'm not going to bore you with reading through all these numbers. Now, 2008, not only did we see differences at site 6 and micronear, but it was all horrible. What are you going to do with cotton that has a 2.6 mic? That's immature, I mean, and it's hard to do much of anything with it. So sure, we saw significant differences, but it wasn't a good story for this guy at all. And what was real bad about this crop is when you looked at the bull counts, it looked like about a 2.5 to 3 bale per acre crop, but a lot of it, because it was terminated by the freeze, you just couldn't even get it out of the field, and it was just a bad year for this guy. We saw huge differences in NEP counts, but 1,200 NEPs, again, what are you going to do with cotton that's got that many NEPs in it? So what we see from our fiber quality is that our differences in fiber quality are much more pronounced in years of adverse growing conditions as far as what's going to be the difference between your picked and your stripped cottons. And differences in fiber quality between harvest treatment may not be detected by the USDA classing parameters. A lot of those differences that we saw showed up in APHIS, but they didn't show up in the HVI parameters. 2007, when we were able to get a mature crop, those varietal differences were as or more pronounced than the differences we saw between harvester treatments. So what we did then is we took those samples, took 250 pounds from each sample. No, that's not true. We took about 100 pounds from each sample, and we took them over to the textile center and spun them into 40 NE yarns. And what we saw there in 2006, again, that was a relatively immature crop. We did see differences in the uniformity of the yarns that we were able to produce. But what you'll see here in the quality percentage, we weren't doing too well with those cottons. In almost all of those yarn quality parameters compared to the global parameters, those cottons were in the bottom 5% of global yarns, except for elongation, which we were doing really well, and hairiness. Even though we didn't see differences by the harvest treatment, we see that there's a lot of room for improvement for those yarns. Combed yarns, so we pull out a lot of those short fibers, combing them out. We lost 17% of those fibers as noils from the picked compared to a little bit higher than that. Now, that makes a big difference in a mill's bottom lines. The higher those NOILs, the less usable material you have to sell. We did see significant differences in all of those uniformity parameters. CV, thin, thick, and NEPS were all significantly different by harvest treatment. 2007, again, we're dealing with much more mature fibers. We saw differences in tenacity, but overall, the yarns were better. Again, though, you'll see that variety played a huge impact in all of the parameters that we were looking at. There were differences in the tenacity, differences in the count strength product, but things were really much better in 2007. Again, we go to combed, and our uniformity parameters were very different between our harvest treatments. And in 2008, we're looking at sites 5 and 7. Again, those are more mature. And again, pretty much the only differences that we see down there are in yarn NEPS, which are going to produce imperfections in the textiles that you're producing, but they're mainly uniformity parameters that we're seeing differences in. And then when we've combed out a lot of the NOILs, we saw differences in the NOILs percentage, but there was no difference in the combed yarn, any of the combed yarn parameters as far as quality parameters between harvest treatments. Okay. But site 6, again, terribly immature fibers, we start seeing a lot more differences between those yarns. And so basically what we see then is that there were few differences detected in carded yarn quality between harvest treatments. So as long as we're carding those yarns and not putting them through a combing treatment, which is pretty typical for cottons coming out of West Texas, we just didn't see much difference in the quality of those yarns between harvest treatments. More pronounced differences were detected in combed yarns between harvest treatments, especially when fibers are immature. But again, you're going to be producing, you're only going to comb really high quality textiles that folks are going to be paying a lot more money for, because if you're losing 17% of what you're paying for and it's not going into your yarn, you got to have a pretty good product coming out on the other end. Yarn quality improved year over year, even when maturity was low. I didn't point that out as we were going through, but when you look at those yarn quality parameters year after year, we began to see improvements in those things, and that's probably largely due to some of the fiber packages that we're looking at, improved genetic traits more than anything else, because even when we had immature fibers in 2008, they still produced better yarns than we had pretty mature fibers earlier. We'd like to thank Randy Bowman especially for his assistance in all this work. We were able to piggyback on with a lot of his work, and he was gracious to do a lot of the interaction with our producers and make sure that they felt okay with what we were doing. John Munier at the USDA lab there in Lubbock has been just integral in this, and especially John Deere for loaning us a picker, because that's a pretty high dollar item for us. And then we had funding from a number of folks, including Texas Food and Fiber Commission, Cotton Incorporated, and the Plains Cotton Improvement Council paid for a lot of our spinning tests. So with that, if there's any questions, I'll take them. All right, I guess that was just that informative. And John, you want to come up and do your presentation next?